Episode number 159.
I think YouTube is going to become more ubiquitous, like almost to the point where for certain kinds of businesses, you're going to have your website and a YouTube channel, and it's going to be weird if you don't have that. And so I think that that's kind of what we're moving towards.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hop, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Huff. Folks, I am super fired up today because we are bringing you our featured guest, Kayla Philo. Kayla, are you ready to be real?
Yes, I am super ready to be real, Travis. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I love your name. It's a really cool name. Really cool name. So thanks. Kayla is an online marketer and entrepreneur, and she has actually founded an online business, The Ultimate System for Fab Videos and Finally Done. And she's used her 15 plus years of experience in marketing, consulting, and producing to really bring this to light for businesses and helping them get more videos, put out more content. And, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like with videos, it's just, it's getting it done, right? I mean, a lot of times it's like, it's perfect with your title. It's Fab Videos Finally Done, because I mean, a lot of times it's just getting the actual content created, right?
Absolutely. That was the genesis of the name for that. We, in true entrepreneur fashion though, we have renamed.
Yes.
So the program right now is called Mirror Your Brilliance on Video.
Gotcha.
But you can't do that until you get your fab videos done. So yeah.
Mirror Your Brilliance on Video. I'm going to put that in the show notes too.
Mm-hmm.
On video.
It's mirrorbrilliance.video.com. And it is a reflection, of this, you know, passion that I have for getting people to start to be seen on video. Because it's really, if you're, especially for the face of your business, it is the secret sauce.
Yes. Having them on your website, having them on social. Mm-hmm. So people know who you are. People know why you created this thing.
Well, absolutely. And it's the fastest way, other than having coffee, you know, which is awesome, but you can't have coffee with thousands of followers.
Yes.
So other than that, it is the fastest way to build trust and connection, which we all know is the first step towards working with people.
Right. So my question to you is, what made you start this business? What was the moment where you're like, hey, I've got all this experience. I've been helping these customers for the many years now, doing consulting, producing for nonprofits and small businesses. And now I want to help kind of create something where, you know, we're doing it for them, helping them get, you know, the system right, get the strategies right. And what was that? What was that starting point?
Well, it was a big old kick in the ass from the universe, to be honest.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, it was. So about, maybe some of your listeners can relate to this. About 3 years ago or so, I kind of turned my life upside down and I sold or donated everything that didn't fit into my car. And I wanted to free up time and resources to kind of renew my career and renew my life and to do some traveling and create this location independent business, which is what Mirror Your Brilliance on Video is. So longer story short, I did all of those things. And I was actually working, I had been doing video for, you know, about 15 years, producing videos for entrepreneurs and nonprofits quite a bit, actually. And I thought, okay, well, I had this other idea. I had an entrepreneurial, you know, bug. So I wanted to try to work on something else. So I did work on another startup for a little while. And after about a year, everybody I was meeting, they, you know, that I would, around that idea would go, well, that's nice, but I need to be doing video. Can you tell me how to do it? Can you have all these questions?
Yes. Right.
And I was like, no, I don't do that anymore, you know, for, you know, about a year. And then finally I said, hello, this is what really my niche market, my starting out market is female entrepreneurs who are the face of their business, coaches,
gotcha,
and consultants. And they, yep, all kept asking about video. And then I also realized, you know, this is a market that has pretty specific kind of challenges and pain points around video. And I know how to do this and do it well. And I also understand where they're coming from emotionally sometimes around video. And so I finally said, you know, I'm just going to pivot and create a system out of, you know, what I know how to do really well, which is produce, which is the video production process. What my clients showed me through their questions was they don't understand the system behind creating videos for their business. And mm-hmm. I didn't really realize that, it didn't sink in before. So now that I realized that, I thought, oh, well, I know how to do this. And if I package it together, then and make it, you know, really step by step and easy for them, then that's going to be a huge service. And maybe that's what I should be working on. So that was what the pivot was around, you know, taking my experience of being in person with clients for many years and turning it into something that could be easily accessed online. And then I still do video coaching. I have three different levels of ways I work with people. And the first is the Mirror Your Brilliance method. And then that's more of my DIY approach. Anybody can
take. So anyone could possibly pick this up and implement it even on a DIY, you know, by themselves, obviously doing it themselves, but you're giving them the strategy and kind of using all your experience to give them the layout, give them the plan.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not really a course. I don't have a better word for it, but so I kind of call it a course, but really it's a framework that's ready to implement. It's a system that you can plug into your schedule today and get started on creating video with your smartphone.
Wow. Yeah. Because that's the key device, right? That's the key device to video creation. It's not this big old, you know, $5,000 camera or a crew that costs, you know, $500 an hour. It's pulling out your phone.
Exactly. And I've had those cameras and I love them still, but to be honest, I don't shoot with those anymore. I shoot with my iPhone. All my videos are done with my iPhone because the most important things really are, besides the content, of course, are the sound and the light. And those two things are not that hard to get right. Now, are you going to look like, you know, Beyonce on camera? Probably not with the lighting, but you can definitely, my thing is, if you follow the system, just with a few easy tweaks, your videos will look 90% better than what's out there right now.
Mm. So you're helping them with the lighting and things like that too, with this part of the system.
Yeah, well, thanks for that question. It's kind of three different areas. We help them, of course, with the technical aspects, because that's where some people get hung up. But really, if you keep it simple, which is my motto in general, it's not that hard. So you only need four things to shoot video with, and you just get those going and set up with the system that we teach people, and that part's pretty easy. There's also some kind of emotional support for people that have perhaps camera anxiety, and sometimes camera anxiety is just rooted in fear of being seen.
Sure.
And women have that in a different way than men because of our genetic makeup and then also our conditioning. And I can get into that if you want me to, but don't have to right now, but just let me know if you want me to, the reasons why it's different.
Well, yeah, of course I'd like to. I'm interested in that. What would you say it is different? Why? What key points make it different?
Well, it all has to do with, you know, when we were cave men and women way, 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 way back. Okay. And you know, who was responsible for the, you know, taking care of the little kids around the, you know, the campfire or the cave, or, you know, if living on the tundra, anyway, back in kind of hunter gatherer days, it was the woman because she was usually feeding the babies. Right. And then the younger ones. So what would happen to a woman back in those days if she was jumping around on the tundra or being really super loud in the jungle? And, you know, she would probably have become lunch or a tiger or a bear, or worse, her kids, you know? So it starts really, really deep. And I'm generalizing hugely here because I have clients who are not afraid of being on scene. So it's not every single woman, I'm not saying, but if you do have those feelings of being kind of irrationally almost afraid of being seen in this way on video, it starts way, 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 way back when, because we have this genetic conditioning to be quiet and not be seen. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's men too. It's just everyone's a little different, right?
Well, I was just going to say, on the other hand, so what was a man's job back in the day?
If he didn't go out, hunt and gather.
Exactly. If he didn't go out and kill something, nobody was going to eat that day. So yeah, he probably wasn't crazy about meeting a bear or a tiger either, but he grabbed his weapon. He's like, okay, I'm hungry. I'm going to go out and kill something. And so, you know, and you guys have different hormones, of course, testosterone. And so the way sometimes, generally speaking, men respond to a scary situation or is that they just go, well, F it, I'm just going to do it. And they go out and they do it. Right. Whereas a woman is, generally speaking, more likely to check her Instagram feed or rearrange her sock drawer or, you know, like just procrastinate and say, yeah, I need to be doing video for my business, but I'm too busy or it's too complex or I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. All of these things that actually are not true.
And I feel like the fear of perfection, because I always, like with our business, we always like try to get clients on video, and it doesn't matter if it's a male or female. It really is just like, oh, I want it to be good. I want it to be perfect. It's like, hey, you know, you're good. You know, just talk from your heart. Let's obviously, you know, there are probably some definite things you can do to be better, but it's just practice. You know, it's just like anything.
You know what? Perfectionism is a problem. Being perfect on video is a problem. And this is why. For a social media type video, if you are too perfect, then it's hard for your audience to feel like they're really connecting with a real person. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, watching Super Bowl commercials versus, you know, the car dealer down the street who's got his ad on, you know what I mean? Yep. Because that person just feels real to you because they're so not perfect, right? So, and if you're familiar with the work of Brené Brown, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you should be, right? So she has got a whole body of work around being vulnerable and how that builds trust and the, you know, and this also this human sense of reciprocity that we have. You know, like if you see somebody on video and they're imperfect, most people feel like, gosh, that's costing them something to do that for me, you know? And so it kind of makes us want to do something in return.
Oh, interesting.
It's much, much less common that somebody, you know, is going to say something mean about you on your video.
Right.
It's much more common that they're going to, you know, resonate with what you have to say, or even if they don't resonate with it, they respect you for trying.
For trying.
And so you build up some goodwill. So that's the way to start thinking about, oh, I want it to be perfect. Well, you actually don't. You want to be prepared, right? And you want to be respectful of your audience, but you don't necessarily have to be perfect on video because number one, you're not going to be unless you're, you know, an actor in this, then you're acting. And that's not what we're getting at with this.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting at being real because once again, it goes back to building trust. And somebody, people have to trust you before they will work with you, right? Or go further with whatever it is that you're proposing.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. So say someone is listening, say one of the listeners is listening right now and they're like, okay, I'm not going to, I want to still start this. What is the first kind of topic you think that people is best to address in their videos, or how do you first start your video? I mean, what is the best place to start?
You have such good questions.
Absolutely.
So there's a couple different ways you can approach that. I think that if you have no idea at all where to start, there's two things you can do. The first one is there are two or three basic videos that every business needs, especially if you are the face of your business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the business, you know, introducing your business video, which is who you are, what you do, why you do it, and what makes you different. No more than 2 minutes around that one. And then you can also, if you have sort of a product or a service that you want to be out in front, maybe your margins on that are really good, you could do a short video around that because that's going to get that product or service more attention immediately and in a really quality way. Mm-hmm. Or you could do, I read recently that the about page on websites is the most visited page the homepage. And yeah, kind of interesting, right?
That is.
And that's probably around, again, you know, my target audience is coaches, consultants, people who are the face of their business.
Right.
Probably more so in that space, right? So you could do a little bit more about, you know, your journey. But again, short and strategic, meaning we're not just, you know, going on and on about, you know, the puppy you had as a kid or whatever, unless that is relevant to your audience.
Got you. Is the key also having kind of a brief video? I mean, is the key kind of keeping it within 2 to 5 minutes?
Yes, it is it always goes back to your audience. You know, what is your goal with the video for and who is it for? Correct.
Right.
So obviously a teaching video is going to be presented to an audience that is more familiar with you. So those can and probably should be longer.
Like a course or something like that. If something you're getting getting into some details, but just to get to know you, this should be a short one.
Right. The top of the funnel or the awareness stage or the very beginning of the customer journey, however you want to phrase it, those should be really much shorter, definitely, because you only have about 5 seconds online to get people's attention. And it's one reason video is awesome. But even with the video, they're not going to hang out for 30 seconds if you're not kind of connecting with them pretty quickly.
So that gets into my next question. So those first 5 seconds, because I've heard this many a time, the first 10, 5 seconds need to just catch you. Do you put and edit the video so that it's the most impactful thing you say there, and then you kind of go back? Or how do you attack those first 5 seconds?
Yeah, it's helpful if you think of, no matter how long the video is, it's a little story, right?
Right.
So you want to, and one storytelling technique is to start with kind of either like yeah, for example, I had a client and she was doing a short video to get interest going for a workshop she was putting out. And she asked me to review her video. And so, you know, she starts out by, hello, my name is so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. And then she said, a few years ago, I was really challenged by X. And that just kind of came a little bit later. And I said, you know, let's start with that because to be honest, I don't want to be mean, but the most interesting thing about you is not your name and what you do.
Yes.
It's as far as your audience is concerned.
Right.
What they're looking for is, why should I listen to you? And your name and what you do doesn't tell them that.
Right.
So
the challenge does. The challenge, the but, or the what, the obstacle kind of challenges.
Exactly. And then this is personal opinion, but if you're doing lots of short videos, I have seen people, you know, they start out with a hook, which is great, but then they roll right into a few seconds of a branding slide. And some of them are well done, but I really don't like that for shorter videos where you want to get people watching lots of them because it's annoying.
Right.
If you're going to binge watch somebody's videos and you're having to run across the same 15 second branding loop every single time.
Got you.
I think that's annoying. So I prefer to have the content kind of keep, you know, you want to, and if you, the lower thirds is what is the, it's what's called the lower thirds is when your name and your title come up underneath when you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let that be the way you identify yourself. And then also you can put a little button with your logo in one corner of the video and let that be the branding. It's called a watermark.
Got you.
And have that run through the whole video, but don't make, now not everybody's going to agree with this, but don't make your audience sit through, you know, you got them excited, you hooked them in, and now the next thing you're showing them is your little branding reel for 15 seconds. I just don't think for online video that you want people to hang out for, that's a really good idea. What they, you got them hooked, then keep them coming in. You keep reeling them in.
Got you. Yeah, because that's one of the best things about YouTube is you watch one video and then all of a sudden you're getting introduced to the next video.
Yes.
How about that person?
You can title your videos using a question, because if you're using the question, you know, like, do I need a fancy camera to shoot my videos? Then they already, that's the hook. So they're sitting there going, oh yeah, that's okay. So that's what we're going to talk about. So they already know, they don't have to figure it out.
Yeah. Instead of saying, these are the steps about video or something like that,
right. This is a bit
more general and you don't really know exactly what they're going to say or what the point is. And, and if someone's browsing YouTube and they only want to, figure out this question, they just click that video and they're good.
Exactly.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So then also my question to you is, where is the best place you find to put the video out? Is it everywhere? Is it the website? Is it the YouTube, Facebook, Instagram?
The best place is where, your videos want to have a home.
Yeah.
So there's two things. It's like, where does it live? And
right.
then how is it distributed?
Right.
And that can be the same place, but it isn't always. So for example, if you have videos for that you want to, you know, help your SEO and you want them to be seen, then YouTube is the place for those.
Yep.
I would not put those on Vimeo.
Right.
If you have videos where you don't necessarily want them to be public and you don't care if they're, you know, not searched as thoroughly, then, and you care that the quality is a little bit better,
right,
then Vimeo is the place. Because with Vimeo, you also have more control over the viewer experience, to be honest, meaning mostly that, you know how with YouTube video, it always shows like 10 suggestions of what to watch next, and it's never your next video. It's always,
right.
It's like all these videos.
Some other topic.
Although having said that, in a playlist on YouTube, they do roll through your playlist. But on Vimeo, you can turn off all of that that stuff happening at the end of your video. You know, the end can just be the end, or it can loop or whatever.
Got you. Got you.
So the answer to your question is it depends upon your goals for, you know, how that video is going to be viewed.
Got you.
Facebook, with YouTube embedded videos in Facebook, that doesn't work so great because Facebook hardly shares anything for free anyway anymore. Right.
They hate Google. They hate Google.
And they much prefer native Facebook video. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So is it okay then to take the video and just put it out everywhere? I mean, is it okay? It needs to have a host. So say you choose YouTube. You put the video on YouTube. You can't really share it on Facebook or Instagram because it's just not going to work. So you have to actually natively put that in those platforms.
Right.
Is that okay to do too as well? I mean, just so the video lays on different places?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Because look, and I also am a believer in repeating your content too. Now, not 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row, but, you know, a few weeks apart for sure. Right. It all goes back to your content strategy, but you can definitely repurpose video and, you know, probably should be, because if you get, you know, X percentage of your viewership to even see that one,
right,
then you're doing well. And if they run across it twice, then you've done really well, because what is it? You have to see something 7 times.
Yes. You know, like 3 to 7 times before you act or something.
Yeah. And I had another coach who told me, you know, she said that's actually going up because there's so much stuff out there now that people's filters are getting overwhelmed. And I said, yeah, I would agree with that too.
Yeah.
So, but once again, I mean, I wouldn't spend lots of resources trying to repurpose my videos for Instagram if that's not where my people are. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. Put it where your people are, basically.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Put the video where your people are. Have a home place where, like, it's going to be on YouTube or whatever, Vimeo. And then it's okay to embed those into your website then. It's okay to embed the YouTube videos in your website.
I would be interested to know kind of what your audience, because this is you guys' expertise more than mine, maybe. But I, you know, I remember back when Facebook was, you know, mostly like younger kids, and then all the baby boomers start to migrate onto it, and Gen X. And now, like, my daughter's not even on Facebook hardly at all anymore. Like, they all left.
they're on Instagram or somewhere else.
They're on Instagram. Yeah. Exactly. And I think, you know, YouTube right now skews super young.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to change. It's as Facebook becomes more of a pay to play platform, and it's harder to get things found there. It's much harder to get attention.
Right.
Then I think YouTube is going to become more ubiquitous, like almost to the point where for certain kinds of businesses, you're going to have your website and a YouTube channel, and it's going to be weird if you don't have that.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of what we're moving towards. And people, I've seen, you know, kind of content out there that is feeling almost a little dated, like, oh, well, YouTube is more for like a show format, and you have to do this and be, you know, every single week and make sure you have a certain time. And I don't know that that's always, you know, I think it's going to morph into, because I've already seen like some of the YouTube gurus in my space, not the teen kids, but are getting a little less formal. You know,
yes.
They kind of started out by mimicking the talk show format where everybody looks really nice and sits on a big high stool, you know, and now it's getting a little bit less formal, and some of the videos are, you know, trending a little bit shorter in some ways, because they realize that's as more people get into video, it becomes easier, that maybe that talk show format isn't necessarily, you
know, absolutely. Yeah. If those that are listening, I mean, there's different people that like them and hate them, but look up Ty Lopez. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy is creating video using his phone. I mean, you can see but he also spends, this is the secret, folks. He spends a lot of money on YouTube ads. You can target your YouTube ads. You know, if you got someone that's an entrepreneur, you can kind of target the videos that they're watching.
Yep.
And then you can run these pre-roll ads in midst of their other content. And I mean, obviously the more you spend, the more exposure you're going to get. But I mean, that's the key, is it's not necessarily about having some fancy set and having all this, you know, glitz and glam and high end cameras and production crews. It's pulling out your phone, putting some time and effort into some thoughtful videos, and then maybe advertising them, you know, maybe spending a little bit of money promoting them and getting them out there to new people that haven't seen them before.
Right. And his market, I'm guessing, is a lot on YouTube.
Yes.
And so I think that He's and Gary V too.
Oh yeah, Gary V's he's probably the most
He's got like the the massive impact strategy that most of us can't afford to implement, of course, at the level that he does. I think he has like 10 people working full time.
Oh yeah, yeah. He has like a whole his Gary V team has grown. I mean, I remember used to watching Gary V when I first started my business because he was giving us some good ideas, and he's been amazing because he never really asked you to convert to a course or anything like that. He's really just trying to give you great content. And I mean, if you follow some of his stuff, it's bound to work. It ain't easy. It's not easy, but it's bound to work.
Right. Exactly. And he's all, kind of what we're talking about before the show. He's also about the other thing that even though, I do video and video is something that people watch and is consumed. I also think if you pair that with somehow hammering down on individual connection, personal connection.
Yep.
Figure out a way to triage your viewers or figure out, set some time apart in your calendar to respond personally to a YouTube comment.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Because he or somebody he's paying, but I think it's still.
No, it's him. It's him.
A ton of time on Instagram.
Yep.
So
I remember back in the day, before he became Gary V as far as getting bigger, but he was writing his first book, Crush It. He was just starting to get traction in the space as far as a thought leader and a speaker, and it's only grown. But I would literally be, messaging him back on his content, and he'd be posting back. I mean, sometimes it was just a little smiley face, or sometimes it was, but it was him doing
it's
it.
Powerful.
And and what he does is he has a huge team to create the content. So they're the ones helping create the stories and Instagram stories and all this other content he's creating from his videos. They break up and create all this content. But when it comes to moderation, when it comes to commenting back, I still think it's him. That's the coolest part.
Yeah, quite a bit of it probably is. Maybe he has, somebody who's trained in his voice.
A close companion, yeah.
But it kind of also goes back to your question about, where to start with video. There are, and this is something he does really well, and a couple other big coaches, Tony Robbins, and anybody basically who's been in situations where they've been on camera for many years, they're now going back into that stuff and chopping it up.
Yep.
And using it for short format social media video. And you could do that as, anybody who's done a presentation could do that as well. If you haven't done a presentation, set one up. I did 3 Zoom interviews, 3 with top coaches who are using video really well, and 1 with a Facebook ad specialist. And I chopped those up, or had my editor. I just did I took the transcript and highlighted the best pieces because there were some really juicy things in there, and nobody was watching the long form interview.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of for reasons we talked about earlier with, where they are in the funnel, right? So I knew they would benefit though from those shorter tidbits, and some of them were funny too. So I highlight the transcript. I worked with the editor. At any rate, then we created, 20 short videos out of those
longer contents. Yeah.
I got permission from the coaches, of course, to do that. And also, and now it's like kind of co-branding with them.
Right.
And it helps them because there's some video out there now that they didn't have to produce. And so I'm like, giving something forward for them. Helps me a lot because I'm building my business and they're kind of a bit ahead of me in terms of followers. So it was a win-win-win. Didn't take hardly any of my time. Took a little bit of resources with an editor on Upwork.
Sure.
And boom, I had 20 videos for my feed.
It's amazing.
And that was something I didn't even have to really shoot. We did on Zoom.
Yeah, it's so amazing.
And the other one that's really powerful ROI that you don't have to shoot is ask for a video testimonial from your happy clients.
There you go.
Yeah. And give them like the how-to do it. Don't just say, would you shoot a video for me? They'd be like, no way, I'm not gonna, are you crazy? You just, frame it like, could you just pull your phone out and just, as if you were talking to me, can you just say, hey, thanks for that XYZ, that specific thing that you helped me with, and now it's all better. And boom. Awesome, awesome video that you didn't have to shoot, and that you know how powerful testimonials are.
Oh, so yeah, absolutely. It's like Yelp reviews or Google reviews. It's like that's the ultimate. Yeah. That's the ultimate.
Absolutely. So those are, videos mean so many different things to different people, but those are some easy ways to get some video on your site, on your social media that you don't even have to shoot.
Right. That's a great point. Great point. I love that you give them a plan too. Well, now we're about to take you into our top 10. Are you ready?
I think so.
Let's do this. Let's do this. Apple or Android?
Oh, that's so hard. Okay. Apple.
Apple.
Oh, I just bought a Pixel Book. So.
Oh, okay. So you're back. You do both. You do a little both.
Yeah, I do.
Netflix or YouTube?
YouTube.
YouTube. Instagram or Twitter?
Instagram for sure.
Instagram. Chicken or steak or fish?
Happy meat. Whatever it is, it has to be.
Happy.
Yeah, meaning it has grown, to be like local and.
Yes.
And humanely treated before Process. Its last worst day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's something you can taste in it. You can taste a little bit of difference, I think, too. As Absolutely. Well as also if it, even if it's just for your own placebo, it feels better.
You know, I can tell you why it tastes different, but we won't have time for that.
Laptop or iPhone?
iPhone.
Yeah. iPhone. Spotify or Pandora?
Spotify.
Love it. Movies or video games?
Movies.
Mm-hmm. Movies. Reading books or listening to books?
Reading books. I don't like audiobooks. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, everyone's different, you know? I mean, audiobooks, I feel like you really don't have to focus only on the book, you know? Like, I could be at the gym or driving down the road and still listening. So it's kind of one of those things you might need to listen to the book a few times, right? Mm-hmm. Where with a book, a physical book, like when you're reading a physical book, you really can't be doing too many other things. I mean, let's be real. I mean, you can't be driving and I mean, you can, but not safely and reading a book. But so I feel like when you read a book physically, it should be something you really want to soak in every single ounce of this knowledge and just spend your time. Don't rush it, you know? And with the listening to books, I find you can listen on like a 1.5 or 2 speed, meaning the book goes by faster. So you could read, an 8-hour book double as fast. And then also if it sticks to you, like you really like that book, you just read it, reread it again or re-listen it to again. So I think there's no right or wrong. You know, there's really no right or wrong. Sure. Reading books is definitely preferred if you can. It's just, and obviously for me, I've gotten into a newer routine with trying to listen instead of listening to music at the gym and places like that, listening to a book, you know, and it's helped. Mm-hmm. It's just helped. But like I said, you have to kind of sometimes reread it a few times because you're not going to soak it in quite at the same as you would if you're physically just reading it.
Right. No, and that's, I hadn't thought of it that way before, but that makes sense. For me, it's just like, if I don't like the way the person's reading it,
right.
I don't like being read to.
Yeah.
Unless it's, yeah. So anyway, that's
it. Because one of our guests, Garen Jones, would say, you're the narrator when you're reading your book. And so that's amazing. And the only other positive benefit from listening to book is then you have now a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, but you're right. I mean, sometimes the book, the person that reads it is not great.
Right.
That's the truth. It's like when you're reading it in your own words, in your head, and you're feeling the emotions, how you would say it. And some of these people are just reading it like they don't care. You know, they're just like,
well, what you said about having, you're listening to it on, you know, faster speed.
Yes.
That you know, it's funny because I'm Gen X and I'm thinking that would just like make me more stressed out than ever because there's so much information coming at us. And then am I going to listen to this book, you know, where somebody's talking really fast?
2 speed. Yeah. 2X. One of my buddies is like 4X. So I don't know. It's crazy. Yes. The crazy thing is the more you do it, you actually get trained to listening to it.
You adapt to it.
Yes. It becomes like, if you go back to the 1 speed, it actually is like really slow. And you're like, whoa,
that is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, honestly, you can't do it with every book because some readers are really fast readers and then some are just really slow and impactful and want to slow everything down. And so at 2X, that sounds normal.
And that's interesting too, because we're talking about business books too. I have kind of a pet peeve because some of those are just churned out to send you to their content.
Of course. Yeah. They want you to send you to a course or.
Yeah. There's like 12 chapters that don't need to be in there. And I mean, I'm an editor at heart, you know, I'm video editing, but that's how I think. It's like,
right.
You know, just get to the point.
Cut out the fluff.
Exactly. And some of those books is like, ugh. Yeah,
I agree. So at the end of the day, folks that are listening, it doesn't matter what you like. If you're reading or you're listening to books, whatever you prefer, but reading does definitely probably, you soak in a little more.
Yeah.
You're able to really focus on it. Mm-hmm. So a couple more, stocks or real estate?
Real estate.
Real estate. Oceans or lakes?
Oceans for sure.
Yeah. So a few more follow-up questions. What is one of your biggest passions when you wake up in the morning? What drives you? What is your biggest passion?
I really love travel.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So that I can remember years and years ago when we were on vacation, you know, when I was in a kitchen that wasn't mine and it was all nice and clean and there was not a bunch of stuff everywhere. And I thought, you know, I wonder if it'd be possible to, you know, live a travel lifestyle, but at your where you live.
Right.
And then I had kids and, you know, we didn't end up traveling, you know, as much as I would have probably done so on my own. But at any rate, they're older now and I've done a bunch since then. And what I like though is slow travel, and it's kind of analogous to slow food. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with those, but it's this idea that, you know, you stay more than just a couple days in one place. In the U.S., we don't have a lot of vacation time. So our vacations tend to be kind of frenetic. And I really like to stay, you know, 6 weeks, 6 months in the same place. I don't know how much longer I will be doing that, because there's a lot of societal kind of just practicalities and reasons to stay in one place longer.
Sure.
And settle down. But I love traveling because I love to see new things and meet the local people. And it you know, selfishly, it expands my mind so much. And it's like the fast route to personal growth in some ways.
And one of the biggest perks of running a business like you have, right? Because you can work anywhere.
Well, yeah, that was my goal again in transitioning, because I have always loved the online world and I watched it develop, you know, kind of from the sidelines for a few different reasons. And I sat on my couch and thought a lot about, gosh, what would it be like to, you know, have a business that was serve people, you know, online, but that you didn't have to show up every day to a certain space.
Right.
And that's what I've created. And you know, lucky for me, I'm not the only one. There's millions of people out there doing it and doing it well. And it's really interesting. I mean, I'm not saying it's for everybody, but the distributed work environment, I mean, I love working with people in India and Bangladesh and Chicago, and Atlanta, and, you know, San Francisco. And I have just interesting contacts all over the world now, Mexico, of course.
And they're all working in different time zones too.
Yeah, right. And they bring more than that. They force me to be really much. In fact, I just finished creating a spreadsheet for one of my contractors on Upwork, because I could tell, you know, she was trying super hard to understand what I wanted. And it wasn't a language thing, because her English is perfect. But it was, I wasn't being clear, even though I thought I was. And so it's an awesome practice for us as entrepreneurs to get outside of ourselves and go, where am I being unclear in my communication, and practice at being, you know, much more clear. So that's just a tiny example, and they just bring a different perspective.
It's a really good point.
I think it's interesting. Now, you know, the downside is I don't, you know, have like the office I show up to every day with all my stuff on the walls. I mean, I have my office right now, but it changes every time I move.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're somebody who needs a lot of routine and a lot of your a lot of stuff around you to be productive, this wouldn't work for you.
It can be challenging. Yeah, it has challenges when you're working, you know, in a situation where you're in control. I mean, anybody in entrepreneurship is challenged, because you are the boss. You are the one that's creating this, and it's all on you. And, you know, it can be more challenging, I think, sometimes when you are working with remote team, because that's how our team's grown, is working with our team remotely and letting them work wherever they want to work.
Right.
And so that we don't have some main headquarters that they have to show up in a suit and tie and drive and this and that. And they can just get right to working it. If you want to work at 4 a.m. in the morning, no problem. If you want to work at 12 o'clock at night, no worries. You know, wherever is best for them. But you're right. There are some very, very real challenges that come with it, but I think the perks outweigh it. So if you were to have a long day of work, you're working hard, getting some successful videos going, what is one of your favorite meals at the end of the day?
Oh, let's see. Favorite meal at the end of the day. I really like pizza.
Oh, nice. Do you have a favorite type of pizza?
You know, just a really perfect basic margarita pizza.
Oh, yes.
Tomatoes and the basil and the really, really, it has to be like locally made mozzarella cheese,
yes,
olive oil. And then I think what I like as much as a pizza is that glass of wine.
Nice. There you go. That's a good combo right there. Some pizza and wine.
Yeah, exactly.
Something I like your style. I like your style. You. My wife's pregnant right now, so we've not been drinking. And so we got about 16 days. And I know my wife's going to be looking forward to a little wine after the big girl, the little girl's delivered here. So,
We're
16 days out from the delivery. Yeah. February 3rd is her due date. Yes. Our first little girl. So we've been doing everything we can, all precautionary. But yeah, I know that's one thing that we've both been kind of enjoying is, you know, a nice little glass of wine with dinner. Yeah,
she'll deserve it.
She deserves it. Yes. Exactly. Pop a big old bottle of champagne or something. I don't know.
Perfect. Yeah, that's sweet. Have fun with that.
Absolutely. I'm super pumped up. Do you have a favorite internet tool or an app that you like using on a daily basis?
Oh my gosh. I have so many. Do you want to narrow it down or just want me to pick one?
Yeah, pick one or two.
I really like Streak, and I Streak. Like one I hadn't even didn't know about before, but I use Gmail all the time, and I use Entreport for my email marketing stuff, but in between I do quite a bit of business development and sales pipeline development, and Streak has just, I think, probably saved my business.
Really?
And it's free, and it interacts with your Gmail account, and it helps you set up projects. You can set up projects and pipelines, and it stages you. It enables you to take a contact and move them from stage to stage to stage.
Oh, wow.
Visually through the process, and then you can also tie the emails to them. It's really, and it's free, which I cannot get over.
Yeah.
So that would be one that I've tried lots of different tools, and that's one that I keep kind of coming back to for sure.
Well, the best are the free ones. I mean, I've always found, like, in my business, some of the best tools are like $20 or less. And some of the, you know, tools that have fluff and this and that are thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
But some of the best tools I ever had, I mean, obviously even Gmail, I mean, just these simple, you know, free mechanisms, they're the best, you know, really the best. And so you can't beat it.
Exactly. And you kind of have to look at what are your most important functions that you need to be working on. And sometimes that can help you narrow down on where to spend your money. Because like I use Entreport and it's not cheap, but it's the landing pages are all included. I don't have to go back and forth between, you know, cobbling things together. And so, and that made sense for me because, you know, email marketing is important to my business.
Absolutely.
Maybe a super expensive productivity tool with all these teams. Components right. Wouldn't work for me because I don't have a big team right now. So, so I hear what you're saying.
I mean, in this world, it's just like you can just spend your whole day researching tools and going on demos. And I mean, before you know it, you'll be broke as an entrepreneur because you'll have a million tools and you won't have any use for them. You know, right. There's only so much time in the day. It's like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So well, really...
you have a process that something that you need to create a system around. I say just start with a Google spreadsheet.
Because yeah, absolutely.
Then you'll get your process worked out, and then you can always get fancier and just convert that spreadsheet into, you know, Asana or some other tool. But I use Google spreadsheets every single
day. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Especially if you're working with a team too, because they could also be updating the same spreadsheet, adding things to it. You see it live. That's another one of the best tools out there. Shout out to Google Documents, where they have the word processing and the spreadsheets and PowerPoints that you can all create right there online.
Right.
Be real tonight for dinner. You're sitting down for dinner to a nice pizza margarita with a glass of Chardonnay, and you are enjoying dinner, but you can bring anyone you want in the world to dinner with you. Who would you bring?
Right now, I would bring, it has to be two, it's be my kids.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because they're both, you know, these amazing millennial kids, and my son lives in Austin and my daughter's in school in London, and I interact with them online, of course, but I don't see them as much.
Yes.
I see the light in their little eyes. So,
so precious.
Yeah. So I think it would be my kids. I mean, I have a lovely partner and I see him every night though. So
absolutely.
Of course include him in that, but he's already there, so
yes, he's already part of the equation. Yeah. So your kids are in Austin and London. That's cool. They're going to come out and visit mom and have some pizza margarita and some wine. What is a book that has changed your life? Is there a book that you've read or, you know, recently or in the past that really has given you more insight to life? And
yes, I would say Eckhart Tolle.
Oh wow, okay.
Definitely change the way that I look at the world. And that happened about almost 10 years ago.
Hmm.
And, So, you know, present moment awareness and all right. those things, which I wasn't really aware of before. And once he was the teacher that I found that introduced me to that. So he's amazing. Thich Nhat Hanh is amazing. He has some books just on, you know, walking meditation. And then there's the poetry of Hafiz. Hafiz is a Persian poet. And his work is super amazing, especially the translation by Daniel Ladinsky.
Hmm.
If you like, I can send you this and you can put it in your notes or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like to have something in there that's not business related.
Right. Right.
You know, not even necessarily spiritual related, but more art, you know, poetry or art or something too. So
that's awesome. That's part of what drives you is art. Yeah. Cause that's obviously when you're in video, it's an art, it's an artistic thing. It's a producing something is an art. After a long day of work and you're working hard, do you have a favorite thing to do at night? Do you watch a show? Do you have a favorite, you know, episode or series or anything you're getting into?
Well, we're super, super lucky right now. Well, even in Mexico City, we usually go for a walk.
Oh, nice. Yes.
In La Paz, Mexico, we live near the Malancon, which is the boardwalk here. So we usually go down there. But I did watch, kind of guilty pleasure, there's a series on Netflix called Made in Mexico.
Made in Mexico.
Mostly in Spanish, but they talk a lot in English. And it's about the social set of some, it's a pseudo drama. They say it's a reality show, but I don't think it really is. I think
it's got some scripted, lightly scripted,
scripted, produced, regular show that's supposed to be like a reality show. And it's pretty hilarious.
That's awesome.
I did kind of binge watch that a little bit.
So you like to take a nice walk and then once in a while, just binge watch a little Netflix and Made in Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for your energy, your positivity, your insights on the show today. I think your business is going to continue to grow and prosper as you've already are, but even more, helping more people, I think, because video is going to become a bigger part of their marketing strategies. And folks, if you're listening, I would say give her a shot. You know, we'll put that in the show notes, the Mirror Your Balance, mirror your brilliance on video.com. Is that correct? Mirror
yes.
Your Brilliance on Video. I love that. And let's get this done. Let's get these videos out there. Let's start today. And so, you know, we really just want to appreciate you and thank you again for your time today. Folks, you've been hanging out with Kayla Filo and Travis Too Tall and Huff. I want to thank you again for your time today. And let's keep being real. What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today.